Welcome to Cody Catch Up. My name is Jamie Jones, and today we're going to be running through what's new in Laravel 5.6, and as a bonus, running through Laravel Spark 6. Okay, so Laravel 5.6 has been released, and what I'm going to do is go over what's new. Now, if you don't know what Laravel is, it's basically a PHP framework for getting things done. So it's just a generic framework, but it does a lot of things for you. It's a very well-built framework, and it also comes with a brilliant ecosystem. The ecosystem really sells Laravel for me, besides just the framework itself. It's been very well-built. But the ecosystem really gives you a lot. So if you're a new developer and you're learning PHP, Laravel is what I would recommend the framework to get into, simply just because of the ecosystem alone. The framework, brilliant. You know, there's other frameworks out there. I don't think any come kind of close to Laravel in terms of the PHP world, but the ecosystem is great. It's brilliant. So everything you get with it is amazing. So what I'm going to do is just run over the release notes and give you my thoughts. Now, I was trying to give this as like a kind of like, oh, like this is first look, but I did kind of see some of the stuff. So I'm kind of going to go across it like it's a first look and run through what those features are and what my thoughts are on those. If you've seen previous videos like this before, you'll understand the format there. So first of all, let's go over the release notes. Now, they're talking about the versioning scheme here, pretty standard stuff. So if you're not too sure, they basically have a new release every 6 months. And this is based on the paradigm, the major and the minor kind of release there. So important to know. So you can work out your releases or even schedule your releases, which is great for this time box kind of release process, which is nice that they've got in place. It's something that you can really put some great business rules around if you are like an agency and need to allot for certain times to upgrade things or prompt clients to do like a major upgrade there. It's really handy. Next up is their support policy, as always, for long-term support releases such as Laravel 5.5. Bug fixes are provided for 2 years and security fixes are provided for 3 years. These releases provide the longest window of support and maintenance. For general releases, bug fixes are provided for 6 months and security fixes are provided for 1 year. Now, this support policy, it's always been in place, or it has been for a very long time, at least that I can remember. This is another really handy thing if you are trying to bring in this framework into your agency, if you're working for one and you want to do Laravel work, or if you just want to give some reassurance to clients or something like that, this is a nice kind of thing to have. So as you can see, if you're new to Laravel or didn't know about this stuff, it can be really handy and really great way to also sell the platform that you're going to be building some software on. So getting into the real interesting bits here. So Laravel 5.6 continues the improvements made in Laravel 5.5 by adding an improved logging system, single server task scheduling, improvements to model serialization, dynamic rate limiting, broadcast channel classes, API resource controller generation, eloquent date formatting improvements, Blade component aliases, Argon 2 password hashing support. So that's really interesting to see they brought in Argon 2. Inclusion of the collision package and more. In addition, all front-end scaffolding has been upgraded to Bootstrap 4. So Bootstrap 4 has just been released. It's quite a nice release. It's been a long time coming, but there's some great benefits of using that. So it's worth re-looking at Bootstrap if you haven't in the past, especially if you're starting new Laravel projects, you're going to kind of get that there for free. So they're saying here the release of Laravel 5.6 coincides with the release of Spark 6, the first major upgrade to Laravel Spark since its release. Spark 6 introduces per seat pricing for Stripe and Braintree, localization, Bootstrap 4, and enhanced UI and Stripe Elements support. We'll be getting into that later to talk about that, because there's some really nice things, and Spark is a really great platform to start your projects on if you're looking to do a bunch of specific things. So we'll get into that later. So first of all, logging improvements. So Laravel 5.6 brings vast improvements to Laravel's logging system. All logging configuration is housed in the new config/logging.php configuration file. You may now easily build logging stacks that send log messages to multiple handlers. This is something I really love, because being able to handle your logging and send them off to these multiple handlers can make your life much easier depending on how you want to go about with your logging. Really, really nice to see that inclusion in there. For example, we may send all debug level messages to the system log, or sending error level messages to Slack so that your team can quickly react to errors. In addition, it is now easy to customize existing log channels using the logging system's new tap functionality, and they've got a link through to the full documentation for that. Of course, all these items I'm talking about will have links in the show notes, so you can check these out for the release notes and stuff like that as well. Single server task scheduling. So they've got an important thing, which it is very important to know, because I believe this is something you can actually switch on, but it seems like it's working, but it's not. So to utilize this feature, your application must be using the Memcached or Redis cache driver as your application's default cache driver. In addition, all servers must be communicating with the same central cache server. So it's really important to make sure that things are communicating together. Otherwise, you're going to get some issues there with how it's supposed to work. So if your application is running on multiple servers, you may now limit a scheduled job to only execute on a single server. Now, this is a pain point that comes up for what I believe is a lot of developers. I've heard this issue again and again. It's like, oh, we've got this application, we've split it across multiple servers, now it's trying to process the same jobs at the same time, or it's trying to process a job like just after it started, and you get these issues where you're doubling up on something happening, and that can cause issues with data or email notifications, things like that. So it's not a nice one to have, and this is good to see that they've built this in. So for instance, assume you have a scheduled task that generates a new report every Friday night. The task scheduler is running on three worker servers. The scheduled task will run on all three servers and generate the report three times. Not good. So to indicate that the task should run on only one server, you may use the onOneServer method when defining the scheduled task. The first server to obtain the task will schedule an atomic lock on the job to prevent other servers from running the same task on the same cron cycle. So a really nice feature there, and I really wish some other platforms had this functionality, because it really does make it a lot easier than having to maybe split out another service to just run that job or run jobs in general. It's nice to see that you can basically say, okay, whoever gets this first gets to do it, or building that functionality yourself. It's great. You just get it out of the box. Now, this one I was surprised to see. I didn't expect this one to come out, but dynamic rate limiting. So when specifying a rate limit on a group or of routes in previous releases of Laravel, you're forced to provide a hard-coded number of maximum requests. In Laravel 5.6, you may specify a dynamic request maximum based on an attribute of the authenticated user model. For example, if your user model contains a rate limit attribute, you may pass the name of the attribute to the throttle middleware so that it is used to calculate maximum request count. Now, this is super handy because you may find there might be like a problematic user or something like that. And this is how you can counteract that and just put a rate limit in per user, so you can really make sure that you're tailoring the experience and making sure that one or a few users aren't affecting the rest of you, or rest of your user base because of that. So really nice little feature to have in there. The next one is broadcast channel classes. If your application is consuming many different channels, your route/channels.php file could become bulky. So instead of using closures to authorize channels, you may now use channel classes to generate a channel class. Use the make channel artisan command. This command will place a new channel class in app broadcasting directory. So basically, once you've done that, you just register your channel in the channels file. And finally, you may place the authorization logic for your channel in the channel class join method. This join method will house the same logic you would have typically placed in your channel authorization closure. Of course, you may also take advantage of channel model binding as well. So it covers a lot of things there. Now, I've never done anything with that, so I can't really comment too much on it, but it seems like a nice thing because when you can split things out and modularize them a lot better, it makes things a lot easier in general. Next up is API controller generation. So when declaring resource routes that will be consumed by APIs, you will commonly want to exclude routes that present HTML templates such as create and edit. To generate a resource controller that does not include these methods, you may now use the --- or --- API switch when executing the make controller command through Artisan. Really nice little helper thing. It's basically just a quality of life change, and I love to see these kind of changes. Anything that's going to improve your life in general when working on these projects, or improved performance and optimizing time, those are really great, handy things to get in there. Next up is model serialization improvements. In previous releases of Laravel, queued models would not be restored with their loaded relationships intact. In Lariat 5.6, relationships that were loaded on the model when it was queued are automatically reloaded when the job is processed by the queue. That's a super handy one because I'm sure that has tripped a lot of people up, and just one of those times when you're like, why is this happening? And it's one of those weird bugs. Really nice to see that one in there as well. Next up is Eloquent Date Casting. You may now individually customize the format of Eloquent Date Cast columns. To get started, specify the desired date format within the cast declaration. Once specified, this format will be used when serializing the model to an array slash JSON. Very nice there. Blade component aliases. If your blade components are stored in a subdirectory, you may now alias them for easier access. For example, imagine a blade component that is stored in resources views components alert. You may use the component method to alias the component from components.alert to just alert. So it just makes things a lot easier to work with there. Once that component has been aliased, you may render it using a directive. Very, very straightforward. It's much easier there, and you can emit it, and it's really cutting down a lot of boilerplate in your code. Next up is Argon 2 password hashing. So if you're building an application on PHP 7.2 or greater, Laravel now supports password hashing via the Argon 2 algorithm. The default hash drive for your application is controlled by a new config/hashing.php configuration file. Nice to see that they're bringing Argon in, new features there. UUID methods. So Laravel 5.6 introduces two new methods for generating UUIDs, string UUID and string ordered UUID. The ordered UUID method will generate a timestamp first UUID that is more easily and efficiently indexed by databases such as MySQL. Each of these methods return a Ramsey UUID UUID object. They've got an example there, pretty straightforward. Next up is collision. So the default Laravel application now contains a dev composer dependency for collision package maintained by, I'm going to butcher this, so I really do apologize, Nuna Maduro. This package provides beautiful error reporting when interacting with your Laravel application on the command line. One of the great things, Laravel has great error messages that come up on in the browser. It's great to see these coming through now in the terminal as well. And finally, to wrap things up with that is Bootstrap 4. So all front-end scaffolding, such as the authentication boilerplate and example view component, have been upgraded to Bootstrap 4. By default, pagination link generation also now defaults to Bootstrap 4. Great, so you're getting this nice default UI from Bootstrap 4, which is quite a nice upgrade. So overall, I think those features are really great. What they're providing in an upgrade, in a major upgrade, is a lot, and it's great. You could probably take half of these and release half of those, and it'd still be an amazing upgrade. So great to see there. What we'll do now is get on to Laravel Spark 6. Okay, so Laravel Spark, this is version 6. Now, if you don't know what Laravel Spark is, it's kind of like a starting place for you starting some kind of software as a service application. So what they've got here is Spark provides the perfect starting point for your next big idea. Forget all the boilerplate and focus on what matters, your application. Now, this is a paid application or a paid starting point. I believe there's two pricing tiers. There should be one, I think, for a single site. Yeah, so just $99 per site. These are US prices, and $299 for unlimited sites. So if you're doing a lot of these kind of sites, you're probably better off going with a $299 version. It's really going to be on a case-by-case basis, but essentially you get a lot out of this. And it's the $99, a lot of people I've found are like, oh, it costs money, you know, this kind of thing. But the time that it saves you, like in development time, what you'd be billing out, you actually, it's saving you a lot more money in the long run. So it's something you need to evaluate. But in general, I think in most places, if it's not core to what the application does, you really should be offloading that as much as possible so you can focus on doing the real important parts of the application. So important thing there. So what's new in Spark 6? So Spark 6 is the biggest update to Spark since its original release. This release includes an enhanced UI built on Bootstrap 4, very much like Laravel 5.6, localization per seat pricing, Stripe version 3, and a variety of other improvements. So first of all, Bootstrap 4, as I explained in the Laravel portion, nice new update to Bootstrap. It's good to see that there. Enhanced UI, so the Spark settings dashboard has received a custom fine-tuned overhaul from Laravel's own in-house designer, Steve. Enjoy a clean, simple starting point for your application. I quite like this UI. It's quite nice. It reminds me a little bit of a Stripe, so it's nice. Localization Spark may now be translated to the language of your choice. All text throughout the entire application is translatable. In fact, Spark even supports right to left text layouts. That's a pretty big one. Like, right to left layouts is really frustrating. To have that actually supported there is huge. So next up is Stripe JS version 3. So Spark has been upgraded to Stripe version 3 and Stripe Elements. This provides even greater security to your application's payment and subscription process. Stripe Elements was a new thing introduced from Stripe, and it just makes building any of your interactions with Stripe forms and things like that much easier. So it's nice to see they're using that there. Next up, which is one that I'm finding is becoming more and more popular with like freelance developers or small agencies that aren't providing a massive product, they're providing smaller products, but still want to have this flexibility that a lot of the bigger products end up bringing in, and that's per seat pricing. So you may now configure applications to charge per user, per team, or per any other per seat pricing metric you desire. Building a project management application, you can now charge per project. Really great to see that kind of functionality in there. That can be really handy if you need it. So nice one to see there. And of course, the latest Laravel. So Spark 6 supports the latest release of Laravel, so you're free to take advantage of all of Laravel's great new features within your own application. One of the things, I don't know if this has changed, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you couldn't migrate a Laravel site to Spark. It'd be interesting to see if you can do that now, but I believe you couldn't. You had to start with Spark. You couldn't just transfer from Laravel to Laravel Spark. So important note to note there, but you may need to double check that because I haven't looked at this in quite some time. So just going over some of the other features here that they've got. So we've got authentication, registration, password reset, subscription billing without the hassle, offer monthly and yearly plans with Stripe or Braintree. You can define plans using expressive code and get started building on what matters, your business. Teams allow users to create, join, and invite other users to their teams without writing a single line of code. Teams can be really painful. Trust me, I know this very well. So yeah, it's good to see that that's in there. If you haven't checked out Spark before, this kind of thing is really good. Invoices, so allow your customers to download PDF copies of their invoices. Spark will even automatically email your customers their monthly invoice. That's one more thing you'd have to worry about. Team billing. Allow each team to have its own billing plan. Think of it like GitHub organizations, all without writing a single line of code. Tears of joy are nothing to be ashamed of. Now, the team billing stuff, another great feature, really nice to have. Like, if you're trying to solve billing in general, especially the different types of billing you do, like team-based billing, per-user billing, if you want to do seats, becomes quite complex, and it does take a lot of time to build that kind of functionality. So having this out of the box is great. Announcements, which this one is, I think a lot of people miss in their applications, is being able to announce things to people within the application itself. So this is without third-party software, just within your own application. So it provides announcements. So you make announcements to your customers so they are always in the loop. Spark makes it a cinch to always keep in touch with your customers. User impersonation, so debugging a problem you need to log in as one of your customers. Spark's developer kiosk allows you to authenticate as any of your customers. Now, I've used this functionality in my Rails applications with the impersonate gem. Really, really handy. So this is one of these things that once you use, like, you might think about, oh, I don't really need that. But once you use it, it's really beneficial, comes in handy quite a lot. Next up is two-factor authentication. So basically for your customers, they can use two-factor auth. It's becoming more and more important these days. View the future. So Spark's client side is powered by Vue.js, a beautiful JavaScript framework that makes the front end a joy. Want a different JavaScript framework to power the application? You can do that too. One of the things that I love that when they first released Spark and they were using Vue is it's something that you don't have to worry about transpiling the JavaScript or anything like that. You can basically just, with Vue, drop in a script tag and start writing it. You don't have to worry about anything else. So it's nice that they've gone in there. Next up, API out of the box. Spark allows your customers to generate API tokens and even grant specific abilities to tokens. Of course, API authentication is ready out of the box. Share your API with your JavaScript client and your SDKs. Easy upgrades. So Spark installer and upgrader makes it painless to get started and keep your Spark installation up to date. Update your Spark installation with a single terminal command. And then finally, customizability. Need to customize a piece of Spark, no problem. Replace small pieces or entire chunks of Spark with just a few lines of code. You can even extend Spark's JavaScript, tailor Spark to your needs, or stick with the defaults. It's up to you. So that's kind of like what's new and what kind of Spark gives to you. I think if you haven't checked out Spark and you're thinking about doing a project that does a lot of these things, or even just some of them, really recommend checking it out. Worst case scenario, you spend $99 on something that's going to save you hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of development time at a minimum, I believe. So it's worth checking out. I don't think there's anything too much new with it. It looks like that's pretty much it. But those things are pretty important. So just to cover it, the main takeaways that I take from this release that I think is really important is the localization, Stripe JS version 3, which is nice, and the per seat pricing. That is really nice there. The enhanced UI, I think you can take or leave, but it is quite nice from the looks of it. But yeah, per seat pricing is a huge one. And then Stripe JS version 3, it's just going to make your project a lot nicer in terms of the user getting the feedback as well as working with it if you do need to customize anything via Stripe Elements. And then localization, like if you ever need to go to other countries and provide a different locale, much, much easier if something's already supported like that there. But that's all I really got for this one. I'd love to know your thoughts. Have you already upgraded to Laravel 5.6? Have you tried out Laravel Spark before? Are you going to be upgrading to Spark 6 if you're already on Spark 5? I'd love to know. If you've got any questions, comments, suggestions, please leave them in the comment section below. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you're listening in iTunes, please leave a comment on codecatchup.com. You can also send through a tweet to @codecatchup on Twitter. You can find CodeCatchup on Instagram, just CodeCatchup. And if you have any just general messages or anything like that, you can send through an email to codecatchup@gmail.com. That's all I really got for this one. If you're enjoying it, please subscribe if you're on YouTube there and give a like. And make sure you click the little bell icon wherever that is on your screen to be notified when these videos come out. Otherwise, if you're listening in iTunes, make sure you subscribe so you get the podcast as soon as they come out. But other than that, we'll catch you in the next one. Bye.